Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for this day. We ask you to speak to our hearts as we bow before you. Wait for you to talk to us, change and transform our lives. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of God, or as Leighton Ford put it in his book on evangelism, the story of God, capital S, uppercase, story, big S, the story of God. The Gospel of God begins all the way back in Genesis. And if you're familiar somewhat with Genesis 3, after the Adam and Eve's sin, and then God talks to Eve, God talks to Adam, and he talks to the serpent. And when he spoke to the serpent, he spoke of the coming war between the offspring of the serpent and the offspring of the Son of God. In some of our Bibles, it'll have the seed of the serpent and the seed of the Son of God. In fact, in New King James, it's got that S for the seed for the Son of God capitalized to emphasize that. In the New Testament, it speaks of that same text, and it's literally the seed. It's the Greek word is sperma, the seed of man. It talks about this great conflict. In this gospel, throughout the history of the world, the nation of Israel was given a very special place. God's chosen people, unique among the nations and tremendously blessed. And we're going to see that in these next three chapters of Romans. And we really see some people think it's like a parenthetical expression, chapters 9, 10, and 11, because it talks about Israel's relationship to God, God, sovereign Lord, and his plans. Israel had it all. Blessed in every way that you can imagine, and yet they squandered the opportunity. Somewhere along the way, they lost the truthfulness of God's message. The truth of God escaped them. Here they were, the people of God, but the truth of God escaped them. Why? Well, the simplest way to say it is they quit listening to God. They quit listening to God. They listened much more to one another than they listened to God. Would you turn in your Bibles with me to Romans 9:1? Romans 9:1. Romans 9:1, and it begins, the first word in this chapter is truth. Truth. Truth, I am speaking in Christ. Now our Bibles read, I am speaking the truth in Christ. To emphasize it, Paul says, I am not lying. And he goes on and he says, my conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. Paul has this very powerful truth to share, but it's also very anguishing. See, as we look at it, he's been kind of hard on the Jews, as if you can remember. We were going through that, and they just looked to the law. They rejected Christ. It was works salvation. It was all these things. And Paul is just one after another. He's showing justification by faith. He's showing how they have fallen short. But Paul wants them to realize, and he wants us to realize, he doesn't do this easily. It anguishes his heart. He said, these are my people. He even does something that I couldn't do. He goes on in verse 2. He says that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Verse 3, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I'm too much of a scaredy cat to do something. I can't picture that, but this is the extreme. Now, that couldn't happen, could it? Because we just looked at Romans 8, that nothing could separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing could separate Paul from the love of Christ. But he's just stating. He said, this is how I feel. He said, don't misunderstand these words of truth that I've shared. This is how I feel. But he goes on, and he's basically saying, but I will tell the truth. But I will tell the truth. Truth I am speaking in Christ. You see, sometimes the people who are closest to us, we don't tell them the truth. Not because we don't want them to know the truth, but we do want them to know the truth, but it seems like we can make it more palatable. We've talked about this community, and I was talking to someone this week, and in our calling, I said, you know, to this person, I said, you know, I don't believe Carrie and I were just called back to the pastorate. I believe we were called back to the pastorate in Tennessee, Illinois. I believe God called us here. I'm not saying it's not written in the Bible, but that's how we feel about it. And God has given us a love for this community. The truth we have to share, though, it's only saving truth if it's God's truth, God's gospel, the story with the capital S, uppercase. I told Carrie, too, I said, I just can't wait for warmer weather. I think I might try to see if I can just wear out the doorbells in Tennessee, Illinois, and the surrounding area. I can't wait to get out and start walking around and knocking on doors. And I haven't been near as much. That was the big plan. I haven't been near as much on the other side of the tracks. I've got to know some people there, but not near as much as I wanted to. But I just can't wait. This picture, what we have to offer. Of course, God has to work in their hearts, but it has to be the truth. It can't be something where we take, and this is what we do, we package the gospel. And what is the gospel with the capital G becomes gospel with the little g, because we quit listening to God. If you take the sinfulness of man out of the gospel, you don't have the gospel. Now, it might be more palatable. Someone might be more prone to receive that. Have you ever heard the expression, if we think it helps, it helps? I've used that. It's true. It's true if you're talking like a home remedy. And you say, well, I heat water up and I do this and I put a little lemon in it, or I do this and I take it and, oh, it helps me. Now, on something like that, if we think it helps, right? Not with the gospel, though. Because there's a lot of people, they have a gospel. They say, well, we think it helps. We'll make them feel better. We'll have a gospel that'll make them feel better. We're not for a gospel that'll make them feel better, folks. We're for a gospel that will save them from their sinfulness, that will bring them to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that can be an anguishing message if we care for the people around us. And this was Paul's anguish. This was Paul's anguish. But he had to stay with it, because it's only God's story. It's only God's story that saves. It's only God's truth that saves. People can look at us and say, well, I've told you before, I was visiting with a young couple on a Saturday morning going around, and the gal, she said, oh, you're one of those believes Jesus is the only way. Yep. I didn't come up with it. I lived for years. My way was the way. Party on down, dude. It's a wonder I lived through it. It's not something I came up with, and this is what we want to make sure. We stay with the stuff, nothing that we come up with. Not any human bells and whistles. Not any way that we make it a little bit more acceptable. We make it more user-friendly. Now, we can do things, and Paul said, I become all things to all men. He said, Paul said, I'll bend over backwards to connect with people, and I'll do that. I'll bend over backwards to connect with people. But we can't change the gospel. Our community, we can't change the gospel. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll probably say it again. This is good people in this area. a lot of good people, but they need Jesus Christ. They don't need another gospel. It's got to be the story of God. The truth. How does Paul do it? How does Paul do it? You're looking at that right now, aren't you? Boy, I got a bunch of stuff here. But we're not going to look at all that. We're going to roll with it. I just want to look at briefly. How does Paul do it? How does Paul do it? Very briefly. So he receives and then he delivers what he received. If you turn your study sheet, the back of it right there. We receive, then we deliver what we receive. See, sometimes even in evangelicalism, even in fundamentalism, sometimes we receive, but we're not really listening closely to God. We think we know. Let me ask you this. When you're listening to someone, you think you already know what they're going to say. Are you listening very carefully? Probably not, are you? That's how we do with God sometimes. We think, I know God's for this. I can stick some Bible verses on this, and this thing will go. This will preach. Are we listening to God? Are we listening to God? Are we receiving? This was Israel's problem. Boy, I had a really good study to look at this in more in depth, and you've got some study sheets, and we'll figure out what we're doing next week as we continue this. But here's just a crux of it, John 1:11. What's John 1:11 say? Some of you know that. But he came into his own, and his own what? Received him not. See, that's what it had gotten to. How can that be? The people of God don't receive God's Messiah? They said, we believe Moses. Well, they didn't really. Jesus told them, if you believe Moses, you'd believe me. You got that verse on the inside of that study sheet. Jesus said that the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, he said, spoke of me. This story, this is amazing. I'd hang on to both of these, but hang on to this one especially, because this one kind of helps us with an overview of chapters 9, 10, and 11. And the gospel's about this promise God made. Back in Genesis, there's going to be this war, he said, but the offspring of the Son of God is going to win, and that's Jesus Christ, and he did win. So Paul, on the back of the study sheet, Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:3, he said, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. And we're going to have communion here in just a little bit, and we have those same words. Paul said, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. Folks, when we're speaking for God, and I don't care if it's from the pulpit or if it's talking to your neighbor over a cup of coffee, if we're delivering and we're saying that it's God's words, then it better be God's words. Nothing else saves. Nothing else saves. We're not nearly as careful with our words as we should be. Our society, our day. I was somewhere the other day, and I heard someone, and I don't want to be too snotty, but it was like, I see them again, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You've heard it. Well, you better not do that. You might not be able to afford to. You've heard that joke. And we have these things, and we have in our opinion, boy, we exalt our opinion, and even the Word of God can't touch our opinion. But we don't call it that. We say, well, that's God's teaching. Well, if you look there on the same back of that sheet, do we take that, the middle one, 2 Corinthians 10:5, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? Do you take that thought and say, Jesus, do you approve of this thought? Can you see that thought? I don't mean some obscure, in between the lines, tangent, detour, in the ditch road theology. What I mean is it clearly in God's word? Because if it's not, then maybe we shouldn't say that God's saying it. Paul said here, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. He wants to emphasize it. And you know what he says? He says, in my conscience, it's right there with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not something that just Paul can do. It's something that we can all do. Say what we know. Say what we know. Say what we've received from God. In 2 John 1:9, you've got that on the study sheet, too, on the back above the receive, then we deliver. Everyone, 2 John 1:9, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So we speak the truth, and it's in Christ. You know, if you want to look at, not today, but if you want to look at later, Galatians 1, you know, Paul talks about that where he, you know, the Damascus Road experience, he was taken into Assyria for 3 years. He said, I didn't get my gospel from man. Christ revealed himself to me. God will speak to you. God will speak to me, but we've got to be listening. Make sure it's not our stuff that's in the way. We want the real thing when we share for our neighbors and the people here in the surrounding community. And we want to make sure we're sharing the truth of God's word. And then just the last thing on that receiving and delivering, if we ever think, well, we can freelance a little bit. If we ever think, well, I can ad-lib a little bit. Well, if we ever think, well, I've been a Christian for 30 years. I've taught Sunday school for 40. If we ever think any of those thoughts, let's listen to the words of Jesus Christ on your study sheet. Receive, then deliver. John 5:30, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. But I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 8:28, so Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. How arrogant we are. You're not the only one that struggles with his pride, Brother Phil. How arrogant we are sometimes. And here Jesus said, I do nothing on my own authority. John 12:20, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. Speaking of the Father, what I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. You know what Jesus said? I'm telling you what the Father told me. We're telling people what God told us. Is it what God told us? We're saying, well, God says, well, Christianity, did God tell you that? When are we going to discover that God's stuff is better than our stuff? God's words are better than any spiritual thought we have. John 14:31. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Guys are going to come forward, and let's just do that, guys. And can we think of that? We have this great opportunity to share the truth of God. Now, we're going to continue next week, and I wish we had gotten into a little bit more of that, but that's like preview for the next exciting episode. And you see the blessings. And there's a lot of similarities between the nation of Israel and the tremendous blessing and the good old USA and the tremendous blessing that we have. And sometimes it says, well, it's just, this is who we are, so it's got to be true. What's another saying? If enough people say it, it's true. That's not true either, is it? One person says that it's true. Who's that person? Our Heavenly Father. So we want to share. We want to reach the people around us with the gospel of God. Not some tainted version we come up with. The gospel of God.